Welcome to Season 1, Episode 5 of the Dr. Karina Smith Podcast. Conversations about Yin Yoga and Chinese medicine.
Do you practice what you preach as a clinician? I've had to ask myself that question a few times recently. As Chinese medicine practitioners, we learn so much. We learn so much at school, and then when we begin our careers, we continue to learn so many tips and tricks. And I think until you decide, if you do decide that you want to specialize in one particular area of health, you're kind of trawling for all kinds of information and techniques and acupuncture protocols and herbal prescriptions to be able to meet anything that comes through your doors, any kind of patient presenting with any kind of condition. So in that sense, any particular person that comes in, you're going to have something that you can draw from your toolkit in order to help them, whether it's food or acupuncture or herbs or bloodletting or moxa or cupping or just holding space for them. So in essence, we're pretty versatile in being able to hold that for anybody that comes in. But I wonder if we're able to do that for ourselves. Here's a really good example. Recently, I started to notice that my right shoulder was getting stiffer and more difficult to move in all of its ranges of motion. And my immediate thought was not, oh, I should try a couple of acupuncture points, or maybe I should do a bit of bloodletting, or anything like that. It was just, oh, okay, maybe I should do a bit of stretching, which is also relevant because I've got yin yoga in my toolkit as well. But I didn't really think of myself in the way that I would think about my patients. Do you do that? If something comes up for you with gut health or sleeping or your gynae, things that come up, do you think about it in the same way that you would think about how you would meet a patient if they had those presenting signs and symptoms? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I've got a really vivid memory of one of our teachers at school talking it was quite intimate, but in a very casual way in a class once, talking about some of the things that go on for her with her menstrual cycle. And one of the students in the class said to her, "But you know so much about herbs and you're such an amazing practitioner. Shouldn't you be able to treat that for yourself?" And she just kind of gave this student a look and said, "Don't you know that we are the seamstresses with the broken hem?" And I was like, ooh. Something similar I've heard people say is, "We're the mechanic that drives the rust bucket." Maybe that's relevant for other fields of health where maybe we're not that good at taking care of our own health because we put other people's needs first. Or there's something about being in that holistic role, that role of caring for others, service to others, that maybe pushes you back, or you just don't think about yourself in the same way. So with the shoulder thing that was happening for me, it was starting to get really bad. And I did a bit of myofascial release and I did some cups that were grape purple. And I went, "Ooh, okay, I've obviously left this far too long." And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm doing lots of writing and I'm just not moving my shoulder through all of its ranges of motion. And I haven't been able to get treatments, but I know a lot of stuff and I've treated lots of people for shoulder pain. And so then I thought, you have to start treating this as if you were your own patient. So then I did some scalp acupuncture points and I've been doing daily gua sha and just starting to kind of step up for myself a little bit more. And it does feel better. But I'm really interested in that mindset that maybe we have in this community. So when I say, do you practice what you preach? You know, we're pretty good at giving people treatment plans. We're pretty good at asking them questions about what they're eating, what they're consuming, what time they go to bed, what are their energy levels like, how much coffee do they drink? Like, we really grill people for all the information. How do you feel about your own lifestyle choices? Do you feel like you've got good willpower according to the foods that you know create damp? Or being out in the wind, or being up quite late, or making sure that you are eating enough foods that are nourishing your blood? Not that we want to become totally neurotic and have to be in this very regimented way of measuring out everything that we eat and keeping good records of everything that we do, but these are the kinds of things that we would be giving to patients. And I think that we should also be considering our own health in the same way, because if we are not in good form, this is the whole conversation about self-care, isn't it? If we're not in good form, what are we offering when we're holding space? Are we a little bit under par? Are we not watering our own plant, so to speak? Are we not filling up our own cup? Because we've got the information. We know that if we eat a bunch of cold foods, or if we're drinking too much coffee or whatever it might be, how that's likely going to affect us. And we all know our own nuanced health kind of sensitive areas as well. I'm just wondering if you really compartmentalize the way that you would meet a patient versus the way that you meet yourself. And maybe that's something that you could practice or play with. Like, what is going on for me at the moment? Maybe I could ask myself the 10,000 questions and see how I'm doing and have a gentle look at, what am I eating? Do I need some regular acupuncture? Do I need to start doing some navel cupping? Should I be doing some Moxa on myself every night when I'm watching Netflix or whatever it is that you watch? Maybe you don't watch television. Maybe you finish your day with Qigong and foot massages. Maybe you do. Do you practice Qigong? Do you have a movement practice? I really think that, we don't want to be in our ego about it, or afraid that if someone finds out our humanness, that we're not fulfilling our role as a health practitioner. But there's definitely something to be said about leading by example. I was really, really influenced when I finished my training, my schooling in Chinese medicine, that self-care had to come first. Because, as you may have heard me talk about before, I was pretty busted when I finished school. I bet if you're listening to this and you're a practitioner, you're probably pretty busted too. It's grueling. But I knew that if I didn't make my self-care in the morning a priority, I would always have this feeling like I'd never quite caught up with myself. So for a good year, and it's still consistent now, but for a good year when I needed the medicinal healing aspects of a very strict self-care time boundary, I knew that I needed that in order to make sure that I was topped up. And in actual fact, I was playing catch up. So I wasn't just topping up, I was starting to build up my reserves. And I had to make a deal with myself that said, you can do whatever you want in the morning, but the mornings are for you. So there's no way that I would have said yes to teaching any yoga classes. There's no way that I would have treated any patients earlier than that. And not all the time, and I'm working on this, but for a good period of time, I didn't turn on my phone until that self-care practice was finished. And instead of making a very strict rule about what that self-care was, you know, it wasn't get up, meditate, do an hour of yoga, boop, 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 like it had to be the same thing every day. It was more flexible, where I could wake up and just actually check in with myself and say, what do you need today? Some mornings I just made coffee and read a book on the couch because that's what I needed on that day. And other days I was really active. And I think that set up a really good foundation for me transitioning from school into my clinical career as a practitioner, of that being a priority and how important that was. And that until I had tended to myself, I didn't tend to anybody else. And maybe now I'm moving into that part of my relationship with myself where I start thinking about my own health with the same 100% presence that I would if it was a patient. musculoskeletal pain, period pain, headaches, what am I eating, how much social media am I consuming, how's my mind, how's my mental health? Because that's really my job. It's my job to take care of those things for me. And also probably to start seeking out getting regular treatments. Maybe that's a good question. Do you get regular treatments from other practitioners? It's really hard to diagnose and treat yourself because we can get so muddled with our own distortions about ourselves. Sometimes it's really great to have that outside eye who feels the pulses, looks at your tongue and goes, yep, liver blood shoe. And you're like, really? Oh, cool. I'm glad that you see that. I thought I was just damp. Well, there's always going to be damp, isn't there? Who's not damp? So getting regular treatments from somebody who is holding that space for you is probably also a great idea. And I think that this whole conversation, or this discussion, it also expresses this, transparency. Maybe the word is transparency. Maybe the word is kind of honesty. Honesty about the integrity that you have for the medicine and how you're just as much a part of receiving that medicine as other people, that there's not some kind of weird, different you that gives advice but then doesn't really do that for themselves. That there is a continuity between who you are as a practitioner and who you are as you when you're not in that clinician role. So maybe the next time that something comes up for you, maybe it's shoulder pain, maybe it's stress, maybe it's anxiety. Gosh, there's been so much of that. Don't forget how huge your toolkit is. Honestly, you know so much. You've got so many tips and tricks. There's just a plentiful amount of things that you can draw from. It's easy to forget when it's yourself, but this is just a little reminder to you to dig deep into that wellspring of incredible skills that you have and let yourself come forward and be seen by yourself in the same way that you would see your patients, starting to really very much integrate your practice of self and self-care into the way that you care for others at the same time.
To view the show notes from this episode and to subscribe, visit drkarinasmith.com/podcast. And don't forget to check out Karina's online courses at drkarinasmith.com/courses and use promo code SAVE10 to get 10% off.